This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger to the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up.
Again?
This picture contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger to the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight.
What did a man say?
I just like to say fuck them.
That's what I thought that man said. Good evening, boys and girls. Welcome to
Good evening, gentlemen. No. Sorry.
So, did you watch that, did you watch The Devil's Ride the other night?
I had to watch it. It was about San Diego. I thought the scenery was fantastic. It showed us downtown, the gas lamp district.
Mm-hmm.
It showed us the harbor. The show was a bit confusing to me, but the scenery. I forgot how pretty San Diego was.
There we go. Okay, we're good now.
Yeah, see, what I liked about it was the scenery, because I've never seen your state. But the show itself was ridiculous. I'm sorry. But, you know, the enjoyment of the scenery was good.
People tell me always, oh, your city's so pretty. I'm afraid because Philip and I live here, but, you know, we just take it for granted. But I was impressed with the harbor and the gas lamp district, and the freeways look nice and all that, you know, stuff that we just ignore.
Yeah, you know, and every city has one of those liquor stores that, you know.
Everyone's got one, yeah.
Yep. That's how it is.
I wish they'd showcase more of the strip clubs, though. That would have made me feel happy. So we go, hey, now we know where we are.
Absolutely.
See, strip clubs, that's like landmines to me, so I know. Marker, over here, so I know.
Well, yeah, any place where there's bootsy or boobies, men know where they're at.
Every strip bar is friendly.
Yes. I can say that, yes.
You can say what?
What?
You can say what?
No, I said I can agree with Bill. They are friendly.
Uh-huh. I have to tell you, my last trip to Europe, some of the dancers, they don't be called strippers, the dancer was saying to me, Bill, in America, do you guys really pay money to go into a bar and watch a girl shake their boobies? Whereas in Europe, everybody is topless, total nudity. And I thought, kind of embarrassing to say, we have to pay money. But in Europe, they just show it all, you know?
Well, you have to pay money. I don't know.
But in Holland, it's all nudes. They have all nude places where you go in their clothes.
Wait. I've been to Thailand. You ain't telling me how, I don't know. But how do you know about that?
Because I talk to people worldwide.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
No, serious.
Okay.
But because
I
talk with, you know, at least when I ask questions and stuff, because I know Europe is way different on their nudity than what it is here. Here they're more tight. You know, I just like Jewish tight. No, I don't mean that statement as a slap to the Jewish community at all. It's just a slang. But unfortunate for us, but in Europe, they have naked talk shows. They have it all. You know, but they do have particular places in Holland where you show up there dressed, as soon as you walk in, it's a nude only. They're, well, like here in Illinois, they do have underground underground clubs, sex clubs, you know, and that's basically like what they do in Holland. They're just more open about it than what we are here.
Philip wants to know what's
so
the nearest
something new every day.
Wants to know what's the nearest swinger club to your house?
167th off of Harlem.
Good for you.
Good for you.
You think that's funny because I know. The only thing is you can bring your own alcohol and they don't serve it though.
Oh, okay.
When I was in Holland with the wife, I went to one of the clubs. There's several different clubs over there in the Amsterdam area. And, of course, one is where you go in and it's, you can watch live sex acts. The club right next to it was audience participation. However, the wife said, we're not going to go to either one of those, so I didn't go inside, you know. I thought audience
participation. You get so inside that bubble sometimes. What's up with that? Expand the horizons. Get out there. Try things. You're never too old.
Sure. But she's a bit more conservative, my wife is, and I'm totally into total nudity. That's just fine with me, you know.
Well, you know, I was until when you work in the club, and then after that, you just lose it all. Like,
yeah.
You just, it never existed. Poof, gone.
Well, when I'm in Europe, I love to see the beaches. I love to see people looking, and I can point out the Americans. Those are the guys that are staring at the girls with the topless bathing suits, because European men don't pay attention at all. They see it all the time.
Oh, I know.
Get those American beaches, and they're, goddamn, look at that boob, look at that boob, because we really are sex-deprived.
Well, you know, if you ever went to Greece, they have naked areas of beaches, you know, where it's just, it's normal, you know. They do have one in Indiana. It's called Naked City, Indiana. It's like a nude beach. But, you know, the part about that, I could never get anybody to go with me. I'm like, come on, let's go check it out. No, I ain't going there. I'm like, what's up with that?
Yeah,
don't
two nude beaches.
Just go.
We have two nude beaches like 20 miles above us and 20 miles below us, and it's no real deal anymore. Huh. Do we still have the nude beach up by the power plant, Philip, or is that shut down?
No, we still have that there.
Power plant.
Nudist colony out there where you take the trolley to go up to the mountains in Palm Springs.
That's true. The one down in San Diego, the topless beach, total nude beach. I used to go down there in the summer times. My wife liked getting a perfect tan, but I don't recall anybody staring or anything, you know?
Right.
But they do
make it a little bit difficult
to get to. They try to isolate it, so it's
a
little bit of a walk or something. But she liked the idea of going out somewhere and not having the tan lines and all that. She didn't want to go out by herself, so dragged the husband along. So.
Well, one year, because I don't like tan lines, but unfortunately, it's not like you can just lay out the way you want. So I came across this bathing suit, and it's actually funny. True story, but it's funny at the end. But they were stick-on tops with the regular full bottom for the bikini, you know. And
yes.
It was actually comical how from the back, people, oh, my God, she doesn't have a top on. And you turn around, they're bigger than pasties, okay. I mean, it has to cover the boob. But it was actually funny. I thought, oh, this is so nice. There's no tie going around the neck or around the back. I like this. And I thought, oh, God, it was really hot. Pour a glass of ice cold water. I didn't know that you can't get them wet because they just kind of go off. Whoops.
I don't know why people object to topless and nudity. If you're in a place and the public is not near it, if the public doesn't want to put up with it, the public doesn't have to go see it.
I don't know.
I just look at it this way. You have kids. What's there to be shy about? Yeah. Everybody else is saying, you know, what's the big deal? So, anyhow, is this what we're talking about tonight?
I'm trying to get back to something. You watched that show. What did you think? Tell us what you thought about that.
To be honest, I thought it was ridiculously stupid. But like I said, I did like the background scenery, you know, because there's a lot I haven't seen. You know, there was a guy that was on my page that was up by the Bay Area, you know, and I've never seen the Bay. And when he took pictures, like when it was foggy and stuff, I'm like, wow, check that out. It's just really cool, you know. And every state has something different and nice to look at. Unfortunately, people don't always stop to admire the beauty around them, if you want to phrase it that way. And just like Bill said, you know, you guys are in that area. And it's not that you take it for granted. It's just you've seen it so much. Sometimes it doesn't catch you in that awe. If that means anything. Whereas for me, since I've never been out there, it does. You know, it's like,
my brother just took off with his wife. They're doing about a couple thousand mile trip. They're going to do all the national forests in California. Just the two of them at their own speed, and that's a beautiful ride up there. No matter how many times with that. Do we have Stacy from Boston? Stacy from Boston, you out there?
Yeah, I'm right here sitting and listening to all this stuff, and I'm like,
oh, isn't that funny?
I admire a lot of sceneries, but that depends on who has their clothes on. You know, there's many ups and downs to people that like to run around with their clothes off.
Oh,
you know?
I know.
And one of the biggest things I have is it's called gravity. Once you reach a certain age, you know, things just aren't where they're supposed to be anymore. But that's besides the point.
Yeah, I can feel my boobs going down to my knees.
Oh my God, you know what's a beautiful ride is up in the New Hampshire area, where the mountains, the White Mountains are and stuff. I've been camping up there for years, ever since I was a little kid. We camp along the it's called the Kangabangas Highway, and they have all
state
forests.
Oh, that's a catchy name.
Yeah, they have all state forest campgrounds along that route, but the biggest attraction there is, besides the hiking trails in the mountains, there's tons of waterfalls. When the snow melts from the tops, they kind of like segregate into this area, and there's tons and tons and tons of like natural waterfalls and scenery, et cetera, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful out there. Indeed blessed to live a couple of hours away and am able to get up there every now and then, because if you're from the New England area and you haven't experienced the White Mountains of New Hampshire, you're truly missing something.
Right. Oh, you know what? Stacy, we can plan this. I can plan this. Whenever you decide to come out here, I can let Jim know, and then maybe you guys can go to Naked City.
To where?
It's still there. Naked City, Indiana. It's not
hell
far
no.
from where your friends are from.
In South Bend?
Hell no. Well, it's not far from there.
Oh, my God.
You guys would have a blast.
Oh, my God. Somebody put Nora to bed.
No, please. I have been down for days because I had to move a fridge because Megan can't do it. You know, so I moved it from the house to the back porch, defrosted the freezer, wiped it out, dried it, moved it from the back porch, back in the house, to the garage, and yeah, I really outdid my back this time.
Ooh.
Yeah, so
take it easy.
When I go
what
to
is,
get up, it's like I'm going to just fall down. It hurts that bad.
What is tonight's topic? What are we addressing?
Naked.
Is there any... Well, besides that, is there any topics up for debate?
Oh, it's not my dog.
Nope, my dog.
Okay.
Did you watch The Devil's Ride the other night, Stacey?
No, I did not. So I couldn't chime in on that. I'm sorry.
I'll give you my take on it. I wrote it.
Okay, you guys sit back and listen to this one.
Okay.
Philip got a point or two he wants to point out.
Okay.
Okay.
Sir.
Okay. I watched The Devil's Ride last night. Let me say this. There's no need to ask any MC or any stupid questions about the MC world, since everyone known stupid question was answered in last night's episode. I thought SOA would stereotype us, then this shit comes along. This club is real. Why would they air out their business on TV? Let's see, Inner Turmoil, cops, the gang task force, breathing down their necks. We can relate to that. Associates, assaults on camera, twatty old ladies, ex-cons with assault weapons. Shit, next week it's more Inner Turmoil, felony assault, strong-arming, and that's just a preview. Can't wait for the meth lab kidnapping, mob hit episodes, great ambassadors of the MC world to the public. People say it's reality TV, so it must be real. If so, then the twatty old lady who laid the beer bottle across the photographer's head, would have been arrested and charged with aggravated assault, and the Discovery film footage would have been confiscated as evidence. I guess having pro wrestlers in this series gives credibility to it being real. At least with Sons of Anarchy, it's Hollywood, and not perceived anymore as real to the general public, except to those morons with their SOA hoodies in public trying to be whatever they can be. Also, and for a rough and a tumble, MC that's been around for 5 years, their patches on their cuts look awful clean with all the fights and all. Right, Bill?
Hmm.
You agree? Good.
Yep.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid, America. This show is as real as Kim Kardashian's tits. If this film was reality, then the film you would see would be the producers of the show asking a real MC to be on TV, and the end result would be the set producer getting a lumpy hairdo and his camera stuck up his ass. Oh, by the way, the Laughing Devil hoodies go on sale after the third episode.
Ah.
Hang on.
No, he's only being sarcastic.
I'm being sarcastic.
I know. I wouldn't
buy it anyway.
Of course,
it's all Hollywood bullshit. No real MC club would ever air out their business. I'm thinking bikers are getting too popular, even revered, and as this scares the police, so they got to get something out there to make all the clubs look, evil, right, Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. They did in the 60s with all the B-grade biker movies, and all of a sudden, if you rode a Harley, people wanted to run you down just because you're in their brains and all bikers were evil. Malicious threats to society, all thanks to Hollywood.
You know, back in the day when we had the movie Wild Ones with Marlon Brando and we had Lee Marvin.
Yeah.
I was for Lee Marvin. I thought he was a cool guy. I think Marlon Brando was cool. I got to tell you about this Laughing Devils. I met their president, the Gypsy. I met him about three times, I think. And
the last time I met him with you.
Yeah, and that's a little bit of a shock that he would step down because I thought he had I thought he's a pretty stabilizing factor, too. So now I'm going to be – I don't know how the club's going to react. I don't know what's going to go on. I guess we're all going to find out on TV.
I don't know, Bill.
We're
when,
all going
to
find
got
out
somebody
next week.
When you got somebody that sits in a room and tells people, keep this under wraps, don't say anything to anybody.
On television,
okay? Mm-hmm. And then the guy you're talking to goes outside
right,
and basically backstabs the other guy, telling him.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
And the other thing is now this show. We're
yeah.
all entitled to our opinion.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, that's perception of it. I don't know what your perception is. You kind of agreed with me how I felt.
My concern was the fact that the image portrayed the public is going to think that we're all crazy people. We're all out there causing trouble, and I don't think all that information needs to be given to the public. That's
no.
a concern I have.
How fucking bright do you got to be with a camera crew there? You're taking guns out of one car and putting them in the trunk of the other.
While they were doing that, the sign on the back said Lakeside, I believe, or Santee. I forgot right now.
Lakeside.
Sign on the wall told you where they were doing this illegal drug, I mean, this weapons
yeah.
deal. So I was a little confused about there.
Like I said, it was dumb. You know, I can't wait for SOA.
Oh, well.
I like
again,
that. I'm sorry.
Again, I had said something last week about media and their portrayal of the biker community.
I know.
And they're so ready to put anything negative out there, anything that possibly would be a false truth. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. And it's like, you know, the word's got to get out that, you know, we're not
it's Hollywood
crazy type of people. And the only way to attack or address that subject is to hit the media dead on. And, you know, that's hard to do because they're almost like the government, let's so to say, because when you say something to them, they interpret it any way they want
they
to
want.
Or any way they want to lead the public in what direction. And personally, I think the media needs to be stopped. And
Well, no, the
redirected.
Media just needs to be educated, you know,
yeah.
Because unfortunately, you know, who they portray to be as, quote, the bad people, the wrong ones, or, you know, the out of control people. Now, mind you, there are ones that are, but I'm not talking just in the biker community. I'm talking about in any part of a community. There is bad, there is good, anywhere, everywhere, okay? But just to constantly put the biker community in the place of very bad. Very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, keep
well,
yourself,
just,
you know, don't look
just,
at them.
It's just like the advertisement that I had addressed a while back to that they're airing in Providence, Rhode Island, about biker safety. And, you know, an old man gets up off a bike and he says,
right.
We're not just these derelict biker gangs no more. We're citizens of the community. And I'm like, really? Is that the way you're going to address people? And, you know, it's a thing about, you know, don't drink and drive, be aware of your, you know, your people on bikes around you. And they're going to throw in that punchline, you know, right towards the end of the commercial. And it's like,
right.
Really? Really?
I know. It's insane. It's just utter nonsense. Because when I was in the Bates, okay, for the years that I was in the Bates, I mean, it was hideous. You know, we would go for a helmet roast. You know, we'd get them for the weekend. We'd all, you know, Sunday, you know.
We'd all go to the
afternoon, go to the restaurant, get something to eat, and everybody went their own way. You know, but as soon as you walked in that restaurant, holy crap, did the whole town look that was in there, like,
well, one of my closest friends, okay, she used to do summer work up at this little seafood place in Cape Cod, and she
right.
said one of the best tippers that
are
ever came in were the bikers.
Yeah.
You know, the clubhouse was down the road. I won't get into details of whom they were.
Oh, no, there's
but
no reason
she said,
for that.
Right. She said that they were the best tippers, and they would walk into the restaurant, and the whole restaurant would kind of, like, freeze. And she'd automatically go over to them and sit them down because she knew they tipped well, you know. And
exactly.
It,
hello.
Yeah. And one of her waitress friends was like, how can you, you know, aren't you afraid to serve them? And she said, why? She's like, they're human beings like you and I. They need to eat, you know. So.
Yeah, you know. And that's what always pissed me off, because here we go. It's not just government. It's not just media profiling. It's not just police profiling, whatever you want to say. It's people profiling as well. Because
yep.
any time when we had a meeting or whatever, you know, being in the Bait, people would look. And I mean, there was at one point I was so mad because I'm watching people get up and move and leave. I mean, I screamed, what the fuck is your issue? Nobody's doing nothing. We do this, you know, once a month. What is the issue here, you know? But, oh, my God, you know, it just pissed me off. You know, that's just how I felt about it. Wow, now we have that sudden silence.
To point out the fact that back in the day, when we get together for the parties and the wet T-shirt
hold
contest.
Hold on 1 second. We got a caller from 858. We just we lost one, but I'll get it back here in a second.
858, jump in. You got a question tonight?
Hello, 858.
Join us.
Hello, this is Sean from Mount Soledad.
Oh, perfect, perfect, perfect.
I was just
telling Bill Kennedy, of course, you got Phil and Bill, and you got the girls of us, too. I've been telling everybody about the event. Is there any way, do you have a poster or flyers? Anything you could fax to my shop?
Oh, I thought
I have. American Legion writers. I've got Patriot Guard writers.
I thought I had. Let's see.
It didn't come up.
It didn't come through.
Okay. Let me have the address again.
Can you fax it to my motorcycle shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, 760-967-5884, and I'll make it up. I'll expand it. I'll do everything. But I've got a lot of I'm surrounded by military, and they're
waiting
to get some feedback on this. And time's fleeting, so I want to get them as soon as I can.
I'll do that right away. Let me double check that. 760-967-5884?
Correct, yeah. My phone number ends in a 3.
I'll get that to you right away.
Hang on 1 second. Don't move anywhere.
Hold on.
Okay.
All righty.
It's
me, Phil.
Hello.
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 Phil.
Yes.
This is Mama.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, darling. Well, I'm kind of doing okay, and I'm kind of not, actually.
Okay.
You remember
Do me a favor.
Yes.
Can I put you on hold for a second? We talk to Sean about this Mount Soledad thing, and I'll be right back to you.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right, Sean, you're back again. Stuart?
You guys are popular tonight.
Give us the nickel tour of the whole program again so everybody can hear it, okay, please? What's happening?
Well, what's coming up on the 28th, of course, is our Memorial Day celebration, and we do this annually. We also have an annual Veterans Day ceremony, but this upcoming ceremony is for Memorial Day, and we're going to be having we're doing a special plaque dedication for President and General Dwight David Eisenhower. We're also going to have some, government dignitaries there, and let's see, we're going to have the usual T-38 flyover, and if you've ever been up there and seen that flyover, it's really impressive. Everyone's seen the jets fly over at a football game, but there's something about these T-38s because they're a much slower plane. It's a lot more dramatic. They approach at a slower speed, and they're over you know, quite longer. And it's a pretty good show. It's open to the public, of course. And generally we have about anywhere between 500 and 800 people up there. We are giving free shuttle rides up to the memorial. If anyone's been there, there's not a whole lot of parking. But you can park at the Presbyterian Church, the French American School, which is just down the street a little bit. And we're running shuttles up there all morning. The ceremony itself starts about 2 o'clock and runs to 3:30, I believe, this year.
Okay. Yeah, and I didn't get a flyer. It didn't come through. So if you send one to my email again, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you right away. And
fax so I can get that out. I'll elaborate.
Okay, I can do that. I also wanted to remind people that Mount Soledad is not a federally funded memorial. If you've ever been up there, you might agree with us that it may be the most impressive simply because, unlike other memorials which simply have the name of the veteran, we have photos. And these photos, of course, you actually get to choose which photos go up there. Of course, there are people up there in their graduation photo, but we have people up there playing tennis and, you know, in country, you know, in battle, and it's rather impressive. Plus, you get to work with our designers as far as what is actually how things are set, worded on the plaque itself. And that's one of the things I'm really proud of there, is the fact that you get very personable with it. You don't simply see, again, you don't simply see the name, but you see the photos and your words, and I think it just makes it much more personable. There is, of course, a fee, $1,000 to $1,500, to put them on the put a plaque on the wall. But to me, that seems rather inexpensive for immortality, so to speak, in what I believe is perhaps one of the most beautiful spots on Earth. But again, we're not federally funded, and that is why we charge for them. That money goes to, of course, making the plaque, mounting them, and maintaining of the memorial itself.
John, let me ask you, should I be interested in a program like this? Maybe I want my father in it, a Vietnam vet, or maybe I want myself vet. Give me a time constraint. I contact you, and I send the check in. How long does it take to have a plaque up? 90 days, or what do you think?
That's a good question. From the moment of once the proof is approved and it goes to engraving, it's only a couple of weeks. What tends to be take so long is the people who come up there often don't know a whole lot about their veteran and who it is that they want to honor. So we stress that you bring the DD-214, and we verify that, and then we draw up a proof design, and we send it to you back and forth. You can come in our offices, or we can email it to you. We can even send it to you snail mail. But once that's the process that takes so long. If you come in with everything and sit down and agree on the design right then and there, again, it's about 2 or 3 weeks. But
okay.
It's the back and forth from the donor or the veteran themselves that generally takes long. You know, sometimes we'll send them a proof to approve, and we don't hear from them. And, we can't do a darn thing until they approve it. And that's another thing I wanted to stress was nothing goes on that wall unless you approve it.
Okay. Can I ask you, because I've been up that wall so many times. In fact, I was up there speaking a couple of weeks ago. One of the candidates running for mayor of San Diego, Fletcher.
Nathan Fletcher, yeah, great guy.
Very good man. I didn't know much about him until we were both speaking up there, and I was quite impressed. But I was looking around the wall, as I do every time, because I can never take it all in one glance. With your knowledge of the program, can you tell me how far back, what's the oldest veteran, or what's is it World War One? Does it go before World War One, or
actually, I'm proud to say that we now have a Revolutionary War veteran up there. Of course, we don't have a photograph of that person, but his name, his rank, what branch of service, what he did, and a depiction of him and what regiment he was involved with is up there. So we do go all the way back to the Revolutionary War and as recent as the present-day Afghanistan campaign. And everything.
John, let me put you on for a second. We've got a lot of people that may want to ask some questions. Fran,
sure.
Stacy, Laura, does anybody want to ask Sean any questions about this program?
My husband was buried in Fort Rosecrans. What would you need from Fort Rosecrans if I wanted to put John on the wall?
Nothing at all from Fort Rosecrans, unless, of course, you don't have a DD-214. But then, again, you don't get that from Rosecrans. You get that from www.archives.vet.gov. And that's how you acquire your honorees DD-214. A lot of people seem to think that we are a cemetery, and we're not. We are strictly a memorial. But my father is up in Rosecrans, but I'm in the midst of putting him up on the wall at Mount Soledad as well.
Well, the reason I ask, if he's good enough to go into Fort Rosecrans, wouldn't that not be good enough to put him on the wall if I wanted to buy a plaque?
Yes, but we, because we are not a government agency, we don't have access to their records. So you would have to get you, when your loved one was put in Rosecrans, the DD-214 would have had to have been accessed, and we unfortunately don't have the same database as they do. They can look it up and verify it, whereas we have to see a copy of it. It can be emailed to us, but I think it's only $15, though, if you send in for it. Rosecrans may have a copy of it for you if your loved one is in Rosecrans. They may have something like that. It might be quicker that way to go through them, but generally people just go through the government website. And that generally takes a couple of weeks before you get it back.
So Fort Rosecrans actually gave me an envelope saying what hole he was in. So would they take a look in there?
I can't say that because there are actually people that are in Rosecrans that did not serve the military, and that is because they do allow spouses to be in them. Yeah, and so that's sort of a gray area. Again, that's something that one of our trustees would have to approve. But believe me, going through that www.vetarchives.gov is very simple. It's very user friendly. It says, you know, have a place to click where it says, you know, acquire DD-214, and like I said, I think it's $15, and they'll send it to you lickety split right away.
Hey, Sean, now let me ask you something. Quick question, Bill Kennedy again.
Yeah.
Great of you growing. How soon do you think that area will be filled up completely, and what are you going to do to expand upon it for other generations to have their monuments up there?
That's another good question. I'm glad you asked. I think it's helpful for people to know that we have room for approximately 3,500 plaques. We are about 3,200, I think, the last I heard. There's not a whole lot of space left. That's why I tell people, you know, if you want to get somebody up there, now's the time to do it. Now, there has been talk about building more walls. But because, again, we operate solely on memberships, donations, and the plaque sales themselves, we can't say yet whether there are going to be new walls because it depends on the interest. That, you know, if people continue to buy the plaques, and then obviously we can continue to build and expand on it. Right now there is plans, and this is already paid for. We're going to have electronic kiosk where you can come up there, type in your loved one's name, and it will show you a replica of the plaque plus the precise location of where to find it. It's going to be lit up at night, too. As most of you who've been there know that the place is dark, pitch dark, at nighttime. But now it's going to be lit up. And it's just a matter of running the wiring, you know, from the street. It's about, you know, a quarter of a mile. But and that's, you know, you can imagine what that all involves and the expense of that. But the place will be lit up, and it's growing all the time.
John, does that mean that the monument will be open like 24 hours to the public?
Yes. You know what? I don't know. I know that it's open until 10 o'clock now, 10
yes.
p.m. But I don't know if they're going to keep it open past that. It's kind of complicated up there. As you may know, part of that land is city-owned, I believe part of it's state, and part of it's federally. And I think presently the city comes and locks it up at 10 o'clock and reopens at 6 a.m.
The reason I'm asking this, because many of our friends of mine, like when the Vietnam Traveler Wall comes to town, they don't want to see their parents' name or their father's name, excuse me, up on the wall with a crowd of people. They kind of like to go when it's few people.
I agree with you.
If you want to go time after time to visit your loved one up there, being able to go at 10, 12, 1, 2 in the morning when it's not crowded, that'd be kind of nice to have, you know?
It would be, and that's something I will suggest. I myself became involved with Mount Soledad when my father passed away, and I went up there to reflect. This was back in 2006, and I appreciated it, I think, more simply because I went up there at an hour where there was hardly anyone up there.
Yes.
And it made it for really somber and somewhat dramatic. Yeah, it did.
Ladies, I've been asking too many questions. How about some of the other ladies get questions?
Yeah,
we got on everybody.
Hold on,
I'm looking
second.
At some of the
yeah,
stuff
hold on,
here.
Hold on 1 second. Mama Jill.
Yes,
okay, you had a question about virtual wall?
Yeah, actually, I think that is probably the greatest thing for the Vietnam veterans. When you go on the computer, you can actually look up instead. If you can't go to the wall, or, you know, mm-hmm. if you're unable to go to any wall and you have information or you have facts or in pictures or whatever it is you have dating back, going back to the civil, what was it you said? I'm sorry.
Revolutionary.
Exactly. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And World War II and so forth, is there a plan to do a virtual wall on the computer like they have for the Vietnam?
There has been talk. Right now you can go to our website, www.soledadmemorial.com, punch in anyone's name and see their plaque. But the virtual wall, I think what you're speaking about is where you can kind of pan around and see
well,
the whole place.
Well, you can put in the person's name and
mm-hmm.
State, like if it's a brother or whatever, and their whole profile and everything comes up, and it's pretty cool.
Well, that already exists. On our website, soledadmemorial.com, you can
see. Yeah, no, I have that.
But there is, on that website, I posted something up there a couple months ago, and I'll have to put the link up there again. But if you scroll down, you will see actually, that's on the Facebook page. On the Facebook page, if you scroll down there, somebody had gone up there with a camera, and it's like, have you ever gone
well,
on a
they
cruise?
Do have profile pictures. I've been on there many times.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, here's the other thing I actually wanted to ask you.
Sure.
Are you guys, are you doing something for these fellas? But I don't want to break the mood here,
yeah.
But I need to tell Phil something.
Go for it.
Okay. You remember last week I emailed you or something and told you that they passed the law, no helmet?
Right.
Here in Michigan? And you told
right.
me it wasn't whatever it was, it hadn't gone into effect or something?
Oh,
well,
it's a choice. They gave everybody a choice.
Exactly. Now
they modified it. They put an amendment to it. They didn't abolish it. They
right.
put an amendment to it that gave everybody a choice. As long as they had $20,000 worth of medical insurance, Phil.
Okay, let me tell you something, Phil.
Sure.
The saddest thing I want to tell you, I can't go online yet or anything because it's too fresh, but a very good friend of mine, a Leatherneck, rides with the Leathernecks Tuesday night. It's in the paper here, in the Macomb Daily. By the way, for whoever's listening, I live in Detroit, outside of Detroit, Michigan. And,
I live in Niles.
Oh, really? Can I read this? Just like it's really a small article. The
sure,
operator,
go for it.
The operator of a motorcycle. This is in the Macomb Daily, today's paper. The operator of a motorcycle is Macomb County's first serious accident victim after the state recently passed legislation saying the operator of a motorcycle and a passenger need not wear a helmet. Well, I just came from up north and saw my horse, so I seen everybody running by, no helmets. Okay. Little information was released by police, but the accident occurred at 10:28 on Tuesday, said the motorcyclist was not wearing a helmet and suffered a life-threatening injury during the crash. The vehicle driven was by a juvenile whose parents have not been cooperative with police, and the kid was backing out of his driveway.
And the fellow that got hurt is a very, very personal friend. And I just found out about this today when I went north. And he's married, has a new baby, and the kid. So I just wanted to share that. And it is an option. Because you know what? Here's what I do. I ride my horse. I don't wear a helmet. I ride motorcycle. I hate helmets. So I guess that's part of my insanity. But on the other side, it'll save your life. But how would you rather prefer to go? Would you prefer to go happy and doing what you love? I mean, that's a hell of a thing to say. So, okay, I'm way off track, Phil. Take me back. Bring me back.
No,
I'm sorry
it's
for your loss.
Yeah.
Definitely sorry for your loss.
Yeah, and sometimes
he's not gone. He's in the hospital. It's still on. I'm sorry, I didn't even tell you the main part. I can't even go on Facebook and say anything on Facebook or do anything about it because out of respect for the family and everybody, you know, because there's all kinds of rumors and da-da-da-da-da, and I don't even want to go into all that. You know what I mean? But he's in limbo. They almost had to crack his skull, you know, for the brain. You know what I'm saying? So by the situation being as horrendous as it was, there's going to be substantial damage. You know what I mean?
But he's going to have brain damage. Right.
Oh, for sure, baby, if he makes it. And
but
such
do you think
he's not the only one. People are not looking.
Yeah, in 87, I had the classic left turn in front of me done, and this was just before the law here in California was passed. On that particular day, I never wore a helmet. And on that particular day, my girlfriend, she showed up with a helmet and gloves and insisted I wore it. And I put the darn thing on. I rode off out of the parking lot. 200 yards away is where I got hit. And it did save my life. But
she
had
a feeling. Her intuition kicked in.
Isn't that something? I mean, I never wore a helmet, and she just happened to show up with a helmet that day. And, you know, obviously we wear helmets now here, but
they still have the law. You're talking California, right?
Yeah. This is in California.
Is it a helmet law or no?
Well, there wasn't then. There is one now, of course.
Oh, but I remember. I'm from California. I'm a baby boomer.
This was 86, 87, and
I left San Francisco for good. I'd say in 74.
Oh yeah, well we didn't have a helmet law then, but I would like to be able to. You know, sometimes I just want to. I'm putting around the neighborhood. I got a store real close, and I'd like to just jump on my bike and run over there.
It's a crapshoot, brother.
Yeah, I would like
you know
to,
what
but
I'm
I don't.
You know, I'm sorry. If I was on a motorcycle right now, I don't ride. I ride behind my man. I'm kind of old school. You know what I mean? In my 60s, and I never learned how to ride a bike because I always rode behind my old man.
Sure.
I'm in my 60s. You don't look like it.
Who is this?
Nora.
Do you know me?
Yeah, you're on my page, silly mama.
Who is this? I can't hear.
It's
I'm Nora. Drinking Merlot. I'm drinking Merlot.
No, it's
Nora.
Hey,
Sam. All right.
It's Nora. You're from Michigan.
Oh,
I'm
Nora,
in Illinois.
Hi, sweetie.
Yes.
Hey, girl.
Hi, hon.
Hi, darling. Oh, you know
I
what?
I look like I'm 60. No,
are
I'm
you,
kidding.
Nora? Wait, we can't have a woman's conversation on this show here.
Oh, yes, we can. We've done it before.
Can you put back the show for a minute?
Go ahead, Fran.
Well, how old are you, honey?
47.
Are you?
Yes.
I'll be 66.
Okay. Go ahead, Fran.
Oh, Fran. Hi, Fran.
Hey.
What else do I want to say? Yeah,
I got Nora. Company, so I can't stay on the line long. But
you guys. I wanted to ask, did Sonny get enough vests for the film, Phil?
Not sure yet. I'll find out and get back to you.
They need Levi. You remember back in the day, man, that's what they rode in. They didn't have leather. For their cuts, they used Levi's, remember?
Yes.
Well, what I just want to say is that in Massachusetts, there is a helmet law, but I step right over the line where I live, Massachusetts and Rhode Island, there is no helmet law. And I've always looked at the subject. I particularly don't care to wear a helmet, but...
right on.
It's the rider's ultimate choice, and when the rider
gets
on that bike and fires it up, they know that as soon as they put it in drive, as soon as it's rolling, their life is potentially in their own hands. And
that's,
you know,
right.
Whatever happens at that point is, you know, whatever happens.
It's on you.
Right.
Well, we're in Illinois. They don't have that helmet law.
You don't have
a
helmet law yet.
I ride my horse.
No helmet law here.
Hey.
Hang on, ladies. Hang on.
Okay.
1 second. Sean.
Bill.
Yeah. Hey, if you send me that flyer, and then what I'd like you to do is if you can call back Tuesday or Thursday of next week, and we'll keep plugging it until the event.
Oh, wonderful.
Before
I got
you
the
let him go.
Bill Kennedy talk. John, we need to talk also about this parking. Because as you just reminded me, that parking is going to be a cluster. So maybe you can help us out with some of the guys that I know. Fran's going to be down. A lot of us are going to be down there. I'll be in the motorcycle, of course, but some people will be in cars. You said there are going to be some options. The shuttle service will get
everybody up there. It's only about a couple hundred yards away. You just park at the church or the French American School, which is around the corner, and they'll shoot you right up there. And as far as your bike goes, why don't I – is this Phil or Bill I'm speaking to right now?
Phil, no.
Phil, okay. Well, I'll drop you a line, and we'll take care of that.
Okay.
All righty.
I won't let everybody know that I was going to show up there. If they're going to take their cages, parking will be taken.
Phil, Fran has a question for Sean.
Oh. Fran, go ahead, please.
Sean. Are
yes.
you going to have any sign language interpreters there?
Guys have had some great questions tonight. I don't know offhand, but I will see about that. I would imagine that I could get one there. There's always people, I don't know, here in San Diego, but there's always services that provide them, and I think that's a great idea. It's one of the best ideas I've heard in a long time, in fact. There's plenty of time for us to still do it, and I'll find out. And I'm going to call you. I'm going to call back Tuesday, and I'm going to discuss what I found out and whether or not we'll have one.
John,
the only reason I asked, Stephen is going to be coming, and he's hearing impaired,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of his friends might be coming also.
Okay.
And he is deaf. I mean, I don't mind doing some of the service, but at the same time, I don't want to give up doing my interpreting
photography. Again, I don't know what agencies there are in San Diego, but I know that, of course, they've got to exist, and I'm going to make some phone calls between now and Tuesday, and I'll have a better answer for you Tuesday.
Okay.
I just wanted
to drop that on you.
You could also call one of your local colleges and see if they have an American Sign Language course. I'm sure the students, they usually have a some type of club where they do different programs for nothing. Yeah, you can probably get somebody to do it pro bono strictly for the experience.
And I mean, possibly credit. I think it's a fantastic idea.
I would contact Palomar College.
All right. Thank you for
Palomar,
the suggestion.
Palomar, and there's also the program at City.
Mm-hmm.
Mira Mesa.
Okay.
So you've got those two colleges. Most likely you'll do a better hit from Palomar.
Great. Yeah, I know somebody who's in charge of the phys ed department at Miramar. He might be able to put me through to somebody as well.
If he's there, then you may want to try and get him to schmooze.
Exactly. That's why I mentioned him.
We're all going to pay our dues.
Fran, I got a question for you. The big guy, Steven, I've known him for so many, many, many years. Can he read my lips?
No.
Okay,
that's an old wise tale. When I took some ASL courses, American Sign Language courses at college, I found out that like 95% of people who are deaf cannot read lips. That's something that's very misinterpreted because you talk fast, you know, and that's the best way to sum it up.
Well,
you know,
it's not just talking fast; it's how it's formatted on the mouth. It's also, you know, there's certain vowels and stuff that you can't make out. Then you've got people with an accent. Then you've got people of color. And that doesn't look the same as, you know, this color or that color. And with the accent and everything else, well, no, it doesn't quite work that way. And then people think, well, if they get a cochlear, then they're going to be able to do it all right as well. Well, that doesn't work either.
No, because cochlear implants make a way a deaf person described it to me was that everybody sounded like Daffy Duck. So
it depends on if the person was able to hear prior to having it done, because then they have something to base it on.
Right.
What a lot of individuals don't realize is that each hair in the ear is equivalent to a full stereo.
Right. The cochlear has.
Now, there's also something else I need to actually bring up as well. The Two and a Half Men, did people actually get to see that piece where he said about baboons and bikers and hopefully there's one riding a bike without a helmet because he needed a heart?
What?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I know. If you want to see the piece, you can always go to my website. I actually took my video camera and videoed the piece that was on TV where he said that. Now, what was interesting about this, because you were talking earlier about how perception and how people look at us and so forth. What I found interesting, because I sent a link to that to a number of people on my Facebook and everything, I actually had a biker come back and say, well, I know what the risks are. And what's sad, it's not a question of risk.
They didn't get it.
Oh, no.
Okay, we all know it, okay? But he says he knows what the risk is, and he thought it was humorous. And it's like, you schmuck. Out there, the public that are cutting it close, purposely running you off the road, and you think it's humorous that they're actually, at this point, advocating, kill a biker and someone's going to get a heart.
That's as bad as just because a person is sitting in jail for a long period of time, not looking at them as, you know, they're still a human being and they mysteriously vanish and somebody gets a transplant.
Yeah.
That happens too. You know?
Where is
humanity? Where is humanity at? It's at an all-time
standard. It went out the door a long time ago. I'm telling you. It's just disgusting.
Fran, I got a question for you, too.
I had another person say, well, of course baboon hearts have been put in, you know, used in a child, you know, 20 years ago. Well, you know what? We're not talking about killing a baboon to put a baboon heart in. They're talking about imaging a motorcyclist as a baboon riding without a bucket and dying so he could have a heart. I'm sorry, that's just not acceptable.
No. Fran, you should write a letter to the show.
Well, the thing is, it's not just one. It should be from all of us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It should be a whole entire, not so much community, but in regards to enough people to speak out against that to the station.
Well,
Fran, Bill Kennedy, I got a favor for you. When you run into Stephen, would you tell him, even though that Bill and he, we lack the ability to communicate, I respect the fact that I show up with him. I respect the fact he always comes up and grabs me. The lack of words is no deterrent to our bond of friendship. I like that guy as a man. I respect him. The conversation is limited. Hi. I respect him as a man. Tell him that's from my heart, okay?
I will. Now, let me ask you this, though. Whenever you've had a conversation with him, did you actually find that words were necessary?
Well, no, because in the past I always had a conversation. I thought he could read my lips. So every time I
read,
like 10 inches from his face, I thought he could read my lips. So
he can do some, but not read lips like most people think.
Right. We're motorcycle riders. Get there, good weather, bad weather. I'm happy always to see him. I just am happy to see that guy around. So if you could forward that message, I would appreciate that.
I will give that to him. Not a problem.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
Oh.
He and I ride together for years. And
I know you. I see one of you. I used to see the other one of you. Yeah.
Yeah. When Red, more than 15 years ago, invited me over to his house, and Red said to me, said, "What is it that you want from a bait?" And I said, Just the brotherhood. And the one thing that's about bikers, it's very, very similar to the deaf culture in this manner. The deaf culture, first you're deaf, and then anything after that.
Yeah, exactly. And
at a meeting,
and they have their own. Yeah.
Right. And the same thing at a meeting, most meetings, first you're a biker, and then you are whatever else you are.
Yeah, I have to respect you as a man or a woman. I have to respect you as a man or a woman. Then you can be anything else you want to be. If I don't respect you, don't worry about what you are, because you ain't nothing to me at all. You have to prove to me that you earn my respect. Then after that, be anything you want to be. Chinese, red, man, woman, I don't care. If I don't respect you, don't worry about the rest of the shit.
There you go.
Franny, are you familiar with Ashley? I think you pronounce her last name Iolic. She rides motocross trail and she's deaf. She rides for the Red Bull team. Yeah, it's amazing, amazing. They've got documentaries out on her and stuff of how
I just wonder if she's changed her attitude. And the reason I say that, if it's the one that broke the record, speed record.
Oh no. This is a different girl. She races. She's not for long distance.
She'd be about my age, and
uh-uh.
she. Okay.
Yeah, she's in her early 20s, but she rides motocross, and she said strictly because she can't hear the bikes behind her or see what's coming on the side of her, and she strictly relies on the vibration of the ground. And I'm like, how do you do that? You know,
let me give you a clue. And my brother, and he was supposed to go to the Deaf Olympics.
Yeah.
And all his life when he was racing, he raced hearing people. And he never had to look at the gun to know when the gun was going to go off. And I'll tell you how. You have to think of behavior. When somebody says, "Get ready," what is the first thing that a racer's going to do? He curls his toes over the edge, getting ready to go. Once he saw those toes going over the edge, he knew that for any second that gun was going to go off and he was gone. He never looked at the puff of smoke because that would give him too much of a delay. I mean, it's different. We oftentimes, a lot of people actually acknowledge me more as a deaf person than a hearing person. And it's interesting because what I'm finding and what a lot of individuals in the biker world haven't quite put together, John was my better half. John was the literary person. John got his material and put it together from me. And right now, I'm actually feeling shunned by certain individuals. And my attitude right now is go for it, baby, because when I come back, I'm going to kick every one of your ass and let you know where this came from. If I sound bitter and angry, you bet.
Oh, yeah, I have a right to be.
It's rude.
Oh, it's definitely rude. But it's okay.
Right, but unfortunately, you know, people just don't care anymore. There's so many of them that don't care less.
It's not that they don't care. It's not. It's just that they're showing their ignorance.
Right.
That's the difference.
Exactly.
They're showing their ignorance. When my brother and I went, and this is when I was a teenager, we had all gone skiing. I was the only hearing person in the group.
Right.
We had gone skiing. We had stopped at some place like a Denny's, but it wasn't Denny's. And we all sat down. It was busy. And the waitress kept waiting on all these tables, even after we sat down. And I looked at her, and I said, excuse me. What, you know? And I probably used a few extra words. And she was stunned because all of a sudden she realized out of this whole group, we weren't all deaf. And she apologized.
Wow.
And she came and waited on us. And at, I think I was like maybe 18. It
right.
was at that point is that ignorance and fear, that's what that was all about. And that's the same thing with the bikers. I mean, I had that stupid Pink Panther on the back of the bike to break the ice where parents couldn't tell their kids, oh, stay away from that, because that cute little pink doll brought those little kitties in. And
right.
mommy didn't dare say, no. I mean, those cute little mommies even had their little cute kids sitting on my bike so they could take pictures.
Right.
Okay, so, it, again, ignorance. And this is what we're fighting is ignorance.
Exactly. Well, you know, like when my youngest daughter was, I want to say probably third or fourth grade, you know, I taught her sign language. Because the thing is, in schools, you know, they don't always know. Kids can have a certain hearing impairment and may not always understand. So she learned, I taught her sign language that got her through, in case if she ever came across someone that was handicapped, okay? And how many parents do that? Not many.
Not many, honey. I mean, they're just generally so afraid. And here's another interesting fact. When they did tests in prison,
right,
the hearing loss was greater in the prisoner population. So the next question that comes into play, maybe they weren't educated well enough when they were in school because no one bothered to give them a hearing test to figure out that they couldn't hear the instructions and learn.
Right.
That was like the cheapest and simplest test of all is a hearing test. But once again, whether it's bikers, whether it's deafness, whether it is religion,
right,
it all comes back to fear. Ignorance.
Well,
and
yeah,
fear.
Because it's different. It's different. And people aren't accepting to a lot of differences out there. I have two cousins that are mentally challenged. So they have the mentality of like a 5-year-old. But let me tell you, even though they're adults, you know, I'll tell you what, anybody, and I mean anyone, from the time I was a kid until now, I have not ever stopped. I will stand in front of them, anyone that is disabled, in a heartbeat. Because it makes me sick when I see how people treat them. Period.
Well, for me, growing up in it, it was people thinking that my brother and I were both deaf.
Right.
And hearing the remarks. There were often times that hearing those remarks, and there is nothing that is worse and more cruel than children.
Oh, yeah,
and
I know.
Just, and it's sad because when I say children, oftentimes these weren't technically children.
No.
I mean, teenagers and older are not children. And yet these were the individuals that were saying really not very nice things.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, and that's what's even, and like I said, I agree with you 100%, because they don't realize what is stated as children or to a certain age as they're starting to grow, okay? Those people do not realize the scars and the damage they do 25 years after a fact.
I'm actually wondering, because they're, you know, they're talking about bullying and all this. And is it something that has actually gotten worse?
Yeah, I think so.
Or is it something that parents, because of their behavior at games and whatnot, has promoted bullying? I honestly don't know.
Well, let's put it this way. I know when I was a kid, there was bullying, but it was very minor. It was minute compared to what it is today, okay? But look at the TV shows. Look at what children watch or what parents allow their children to see. That right there says a lot, it shows a lot, and they think it's okay. You know, my youngest daughter was tormented so bad. I homeschooled her. I pulled her because it wasn't just girls. It was mainly the boys. She would come in with bruises. Her tooth was knocked out. I flipped. I could not believe how wretched these children were. And they were just in elementary school.
I kind of I'm in the middle on this one. I totally understand what Fran is saying about it. It goes back to the old cliche of children learn what they hear and see. And if you have hectic or violent individuals, or so to say, in your home, that is going to reflect upon the child, and the child will carry that out into the world, you know. And then occasionally you just have your neighborhood kid who just likes to be a punk. But I firmly believe that, you know, most of these cases of bullying incidences, they all stem around something that's gone wrong somehow, some way in their own home environment, and there's no mechanism of release, so therefore they go out and they release it the same way it's being released on them. You know, children feel and see and experience a lot. And when we leave their side and put them in a educational setting or a camp setting or anything like that, you know, things happen, and it's sad. But on this subject, why I have Fran on the phone, a couple of weeks ago we addressed an autism issue with my son.
Right.
And the case carries on. But his advocate, and they're pulling in another advocate on this. They already had the attorney that works with the team go over his paperwork because of how they managed to get away with what they have. And I just want to read something to y'all. It says Section 1, Chapter 17B of Section 3. These are the general laws in the Massachusetts School Committee. And I'm just going to read a portion of a paragraph for you guys. It says the IEP team shall consider and shall specifically address the following: the verbal and nonverbal communication needs of the child, the need to develop social interaction skills and proficiencies, the needs resulting from the child's unusual responses to sensory experiences, the needs resulting from resistance to environmental change or change in a daily routine, the needs resulting from engagement in repetitive activities and stereotype movements, the need for any positive behavioral intervention strategies and supports to address any behavioral difficulties resulting from autism spectrum disorder, the other needs resulting from child's disability that impact progress in the general curriculum, including social and emotional development. Now, those are the guidelines for a child like my son to be able to remain in the public school system. But what the school system is doing, if you're not on top of everything, which, again, I had stressed this a couple of weeks ago about how much parents need to get involved, this right here, this paragraph, is exclusive to children that have the behaviors or whatever it is they do due to their disability, okay? And what the school department is doing over here is if a child demonstrates behaviors, they say, well, it's not a manifestation of his disability, so we're just going to bounce him, you know? And so many children in this area are being put into programs because they had us go visit two. And one of the programs that we went to, the guy who runs it said, we do not address autism issues. He's like, we're becoming a dump center for the school department to place these children because they're not adequately doing it within the classroom. You know, I mean, I could go on and on, but I mean, that's the first initial paragraph to the special education law that is specifically designed for autism spectrum disorders. And
can I get everybody to put a hold for a second? There's a little something Philip wants to play. I want everybody to hear about it. Stacey, I want you to listen to this. In fact, I want all of our friends tonight to listen to this. This ties in what we're talking about a little bit. Your patience,
okay.
Please. Philip, button, please.
Well, actually, what it starts out is California Sheriff's Deputy punches a woman in the face.
When Jermaine Green and his fiancée Violet Roberts got on a Metro bus in Bellflower Monday night, they took notice of another passenger.
The lady got on the bus with her stroller full of pillows, and she was very polite, said hi to everybody, and sat down.
At the next stop, two L.A. County Sheriff's deputies, one male and one female, boarded the bus and called the passenger by name.
They said, get off the bus. She then, you know, started cursing at her, and you can tell it's very obvious that she was special, you know, had special needs. And after that, you know, they grab her, and she closes her mouth, calls him a big shot. Next thing you know, he gives her a big shot.
Green captured the incident with his cell phone's video camera.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, he seen me taping him. He looked up at the camera a few times, and he still hit her like that. And I can't believe, I mean, he didn't try to defuse the situation at all.
Like they were tired of dealing with her.
Hey, he didn't just hit, he hit her like somebody would hit somebody in a bar fight.
It was a man hitting a man.
So
oh, my God.
That's
horrible.
Talk or anything.
Green recently returned home from serving 6 years in the Army, including tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan.
In the Army, they gave us extensive training for rules of engagement. There's proper protocols and different steps you take. This lady didn't do anything. She was not combative, and he actually turned combative on her.
Green claims the deputies then tried to intimidate him when he refused to hand over his cell phone.
And he comes to me and says, look, you can be under arrest if you don't give me that video.
America we're talking about, or is this communist China? I got a little confused there for a second. You can be
That's
arrested
horrible.
If you don't give me that video.
That's horrible. And those are the things right there that, you know, my little boy is little yet, and he has to grow into manhood. And, you know, who's to say that, you know, that could be him regardless of the baby carriage. But it's horrible. It's horrible, you know. You can't go around doing that to people. You just can't. They do it, but you can't do that. That's wrong.
What concerns
you know, like,
me?
Go ahead.
What concerns me more than anything is people are kowtowing to the police when the police are requesting equipment that is not theirs to be able to request, and to threaten an individual bystander of arresting them. How many people are actually going to go through that process? Personally, I'd say fucking arrest me, because then I call my lawyer and my everything I have on me gets turned over to my lawyer. At that point, the police would have to have a subpoena to retrieve that.
Okay.
In the meantime, my lawyer would have that and put it hopefully on all the news channels so that that portion of it would be taught to the public.
What happened?
Okay, here you go.
What happened to the officers that did that?
Nothing.
Oh, they're on suspension right now, but they're getting paid pending investigation.
Of course.
Now, here, just so you guys understand this, listen to me very carefully what I'm going to say here. This is know your rights, okay? No state has a law outlawing videotaping anyone or anything in public. Of course, you may not go to the scene of an emergency and be present while the emergency is in progress. By present, I refer to an unreasonable distance of the activity, putting yourself and emergency personnel at risk. A telephoto lens solves this problem. No one, even cops, have an expectation of privacy while conducting business in a place open to the public or a public place. Let me say that again. No one, even cops, have no expectation of privacy while conducting police business in a place open to the public or a public place. Eavesdropping laws do not apply in public place or place open to the public. There is no expectation of privacy. You can't take a picture of them taking a piss. You can't take a picture of their face if they're undercover, and you cannot take a picture of them walking into a house showing their address. Those are the only three things that you can't do to those guys. You cannot sneak up on one or up on two cops having a private conversation and record it any more than doing so to anyone else. Public employees doing a job in a public place do not have a right to privacy and may be tape recorded and videotaped. No court has upheld any arrest arising from misbehavior of officers who take cameras or cell phone memories based on eavesdrop laws. No appeals court has upheld such conduct, and that's why it's not reached the Supreme Court yet. No city, county, or state has appealed to the appellate courts. The goal of police is to obtain your video or memory card and erase what you shot before returning it to you. You always have to have your cell phone set up for immediate email to your account. If there are no apps for that, stay a good distance away. Film secretly, make your complaint to the Internal Affairs Unit of that police department without telling them you have film, but make sure your story matches exactly what the film shows. Be very specific. Wait until they exonerate. They claim it was he said, she said, and suddenly discover the video. Okay? Just do the same shit they do to you. You go to court and, oh, we didn't do that, and then boom, they got you on film.
That's right.
They will try and make you look like the bad guy for withholding the video, but the bad conduct, you will still have to be punished. Now, suppose you are stopped in the store for alleged shoplifting and a cop comes to the store. You know you're innocent and refuse to cooperate. Now you will find that the shoplifting charge will be dropped and you will be instead convicted of interfering with their investigation and assault and battery on an officer if you struggle. We'll email your footage and follow their demands. Many people are now videotaping people who are videotaping from a safe distance. So don't worry about getting the conduct on tape. Let them violate your constitutional rights, steal your property or whatever, and don't give them the defense. Now cops know that they're going to hire a lawyer and file an action in federal court over their behavior. After all, most lawyers want cases with real damages, and they know that their arrest strictly for videotaping won't get prosecuted, but you have a great case if you keep it cool and wait your turn. What it will take is for this wacko cop to use deadly force and kill someone over a recording of his actions in a public place. It's too bad. That's what will get the conduct before the Supreme Court so they can firmly lay down your First and Fourth Amendment rights.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to remind you we are all Americans. We are driving down American roads. We're walking down American sidewalks. This is our country. We're taxpayers. We do not need to fear the police. Do not give them extra powers. Do not give up your own rights. Be firm and, of course, don't resist, but know your rights. Don't be afraid to go down to the police station and say, I had a confrontation with an officer and I want to speak to his supervisor and that officer. If the dog catcher was rude to you, if the guy at the gas electric company is rude to you, you want to speak to the supervisor. But because they're police, you don't want to take the extra step. Every officer that we can just bring to light and remind him or her not to overstep the boundaries. And again, please remember, we are American citizens. This is our country.
I have to tell you a John story. John was outside front of the house, and this car almost hit a pedestrian. The person who was driving the car was on a cell phone. So John proceeded to take down the number of the car. John got on the phone to the police department and said, I'd like to talk to somebody in charge, and stated the story. And the officer in charge says, well, do you know who it was? And he said, well, yes, he was one of your officers on a cell phone that almost hit the best pedestrian. And here's his car number. And there was just kind of like dead silence. Here is an officer on a cell phone that almost hit a pedestrian. Most people would not have taken the time out of their day to pick up the bloody phone and put in a complaint. But if he had hit her, then what?
But that's why I tell everybody, whether they're nice, mean, whatever to you, fill out the complaint. It stays in their jacket. The more complaints they get, them for anything they want to try and do in their career.
See, what I want is a better police department.
That too.
I'm not against the police. I want a better police department.
Yeah.
I want people educated. I want people to take care of my mother, my grandparents and all that. I don't want these, Wild West guys running around causing crap all the time. However, most of us do shoot ourselves in the foot. Is that correct, Philip?
That's correct. Because the best two words that Bill and I have ever told you before the confrontation starts.
You give the first, I'll get the second.
Shut up.
Pretty basic. Don't give extra information.
I want to drop something else on that. When I had a bank call, and you know what? The same thing applies. You do not have to answer those questions. And yes, that is being taped, and it will be used against you at a hearing. So once again, that same phrase applies. Shut up. You do not have to explain yourself. You do not have to do anything. And then you can say, do I need an attorney? And if they say no, then I said, good. Then you hang up.
I always say when they, I say, am I free to go? And if they say no, I need to know why. But you asking that direct question, just go ahead. But if you don't ask the question, they'll keep sitting there and you'll stay there. And again, you have 30 to 45 seconds of each stop to decide who's going to be in charge of the situation. You need to defuse the situation. You need the police officer to know that he or she did not need to be scared. This is not an exporter. This is an American citizen within their rights trying to be an American street. But they don't know who they pulled over. So they're fearful. They have the hand on the gun. One of you two, them or us, is going to control the situation. I say let it be us.
Well, when those two guys from Homeland Security pulled me and Bernie over, they were more scared of us than we were of them.
That's the situation. They just don't know who they have. You look kind of rowdy, though, you know. And Bernie, he looks pretty...
Our American Legion members, someone apparently changed lanes rather quickly into our safety officer, and his wife died. He's got a broken leg, and I'm not sure what the outcome of that's going to be. It doesn't really make any difference what the outcome is, because he's lost the greatest part of all. He's lost his wife.
Fran, do you know that he was all loaded up? He and his wife were on a motorcycle vacation to Texas and only got as far as Valley Center, and that's when the accident happened.
Damn.
The fire department was nice enough to call me up and say, hey, Bill, biker, da-da-da-da-da-da, gave me all the information. So it's kind of a tough way to go. He and his wife going on a vacation, and she's dead.
Yeah.
How do you fill that void? You can't.
You don't. For me, I'm a little luckier because I knew it was coming. When it's sudden like that, where do you go? I mean, how do you cope when it's sudden? There's no real recourse, and you try to make an understanding, amends to it, and it's like from sheer stupidity, there is no place to come with this.
Fran, if I go first, I think my wife's plan is to wear black underwear for a week. And that's the end of the morning for her. I hope
I don't
the wife's
own
not
any, so.
Yeah, you kick your ass.
Yeah, but, I curse them out, too.
Yeah. Hey, we're gonna take a real quick break. We'll be right back. Check this out.
A little music.
Yeah.
Girls, like I tell you over and over, if we would concentrate on what we have in common, we'd find out we have a lot in common. Eliminate worry and why we're different. Let's try to work on why we're the same. If we work together, it can be so much easier. The Marine Corps hymn or anthem is Gung Ho. I'm sure everybody's heard that. It's actually a Chinese statement. It means work together. When are we going to stop this separation? Bait doesn't like bolt. Bolt doesn't like bam. Blah, 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 blah. What we need in this world is, well, I'm sorry. Let me just get off my high horse. Let me get on my high horse.
Well,
one
hang
second.
On. They just, dropped us, Bill. We lost everything, but we're still on the air, and everything's coming back right now.
All right.
No, go ahead.
All right, good. This is a deviation. You know what I've been looking for? We have a president right now. Man, I don't know where this came from, but it's coming from somewhere. He's our president. I didn't vote for the guy. I'm a Republican. But the Republicans didn't offer anything to go against this president, so he's doing the best he can. Next election's coming up. I'm not going to vote for this guy again, but the Republican Party doesn't offer me anything. I'm looking for leadership, and I can't find it in America. I want to take that same exact example and bring it down to the motorcycle world. Why is it I can't find a leader in the motorcycle world? Why can't I find a leader in California? Why can't I find a leader in San Diego, my own hometown? Why are these motorcycle right organizations fragmented? Somebody out there knows somebody that can step up. We need a motorcycle leader. We need somebody going to talk about Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, Honda, Harley, everything equally. Be concerned for all of us. We have a leader. A man or a woman, there's got to be somebody within the sound of my voice that says, you're right, we need to step up. Maybe I'm that man or woman. We are a large organization, us motorcycle riders. We have money. We have votes. We have everything. What we don't have is any stinking organization. Now, again, I know I'm going to hear from the MROs, blah, 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 we're doing the best we can. I appreciate that. I agree with that. What we lack, we don't have any respect because we don't have any leaders. Not to mention we don't have any leaders as president. I'm happy with those people. But if you can join your motorcycle right organizations, if you can get involved in the community, I'm telling you, boys and girls, one leader, just think how powerful we'd be. And yet, nothing. Every year I look for leadership. I know you and I talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't find it. I'm hoping somebody in the sound of my voice tonight is listening, or I'm hoping somebody knows somebody, and you need to tell that person, you got to get involved. But I just see this motorcycle, we're floundering. We're a joke. We have no cohesiveness. Anybody want to talk about that?
I find that it's sad, and the reason I find it sad is you're right. There's a number of people that don't want to step up to the plate. The COC should actually help us in this, in their leadership. And at this point, we are floundering primarily because this group does not want to be part of that group. And when you have that type of attitude, and then you go to the Harley group, and I won't mention what group that is, they are shop-oriented, and no, we don't get involved because we're going to do our own rides, and we don't really like outsiders joining in with us. And you know something? They fragmented ourselves primarily because they do not want to get involved. They do not want an outsider. They do not want anyone to say, you need to do this. Like I said, when that show paralleled us with a baboon and we're worthless and we're only good to supply a heart. And do you know something? Very, very few people are stepping up to the plate, and all they'd have to do is even just send a postcard, an email to that show.
There's a that was Bill that said, was talking before you, right? Not Phil?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I think, you know, that is a great thing what you said, you know, looking for leadership. But here's the thing. You probably have 100 people somewhere out here in the great United States that would like to maybe, you know, be the voice of reason. But I am sure that they're turning around and saying, you know, if I projected forward a piece of positiveness, a piece of understanding, whatever, people are going to look at me as a joke anyways because of the stigma society puts. And, you know, I'm sure they sit there and battle that, you know, amongst several different other things. It's horrible to think that there couldn't be some type of voice of reason within such a tight group of people.
The only thing I'm going to correct on that, this has nothing to do with the outside community. This has to do with the biker community.
Right.
And the biker community has fragmented in such a manner that at best we might be able to get half of the different organizations to a run. I mean, they had this thing for a child. They expected to hope to get 1,000. They got 4,000. Where are these people?
No, they
hope
they get at least 100, and they got 4,000.
Yeah, but where are these people when we need them? Where are they when we go to Sacramento? Where are these people when we need to show solidarity? Where are these people when we need to show a flag? Where are these people on the 4th of July riding around happier than pigs? Whatever. And not one of those individuals riding one of them vehicles bought enough to at least show an American flag. POW flag, I will forgive them for that because that's an age thing. But to not show solidarity and at least fly an American flag? Excuse me. Where are our bikers? Where is our solidarity? I don't see it. And you know what? I'm getting too old to fight with these people to get them to understand. Sound a little angry? Yes. Because I've been batting my head against the wall for over 10 years with these groups.
But hear you on that one. We go through that all the time. I mean, people come and talk to me or Bill about advice, how to handle a situation, or what to do. You think they do what we? They do the opposite.
Diego
then,
a while back, and
we have a lot of
black motorcycle clubs in San Diego. They want to stay all black in their own group. So they have a clubhouse down in San Diego, and I decided to go down to visit them on Market Street in case, Fran, you don't know where
it
is.
I know where it is.
I went inside and I had a drink. Easy to spot me, the only white guy there. And I was talking to them. I said, why is it that you guys stay so distant from me? They said, Bill, we know no matter how much we try, there's going to be some white people that don't want us with them. And, Bill, let's flip the script. How much we try, there's going to be some black riders who don't want you white people with them.
Right.
So I say to them, so because of some people, you're going to refuse to unite, you're going to refuse to come together, you're going to try to fight your own battle. And they said, Bill, that's what we feel best at. Now, not black riders are against this and all that, not all white riders, blah, 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 you know that bullshit. These are organized motorcycle groups that when I talk to them and say, Bill, you are a man of respect, but we don't care what's going on. In our black world, and away from the white people. It's not white or black people, it's the vote. If we don't come together, we're going to stay fragmented. And believe me, the cops are happy we're fragmented.
Okay, Bill.
I'm going to go back in history.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Wait, hang on a second. Okay, Bill, you know when I go, when you go north and I go south or vice versa, or I'm out somewhere and I'm with people and I happen to take pictures with certain individuals?
Yep.
Of color, or
yes.
Association, or whatever.
Yes, yes.
You know, I honestly get shit from people when I
sure.
do that. I get shit because these guys at that club
That's right.
don't like me being with that guy.
Huh.
He says, I don't give a shit. I like that guy. He likes me. We're friends. End of story. Even when I met this guy, even when I met Hollywood Jesus on Sunset Boulevard, I got shit about that. People wrote, hey, Philip, we didn't know you found God. I didn't find God. God walked up to me, but the guy's Hollywood Jesus. Been up there for 5 years.
He's
we did was take a picture.
But see, people don't want out to other types of people. And as long as we stay with this challenge mentality, we're going to be separated. We're going to keep the Mexicans away from the blacks away from the white. I'm not here for racial unity. I'm talking about the vote. We don't have to live together. We don't have to get married. We have to love each other. But if we can't sit down as a group and share ideas, dialogue, give and take. We don't have dialogue. There's very few people that go down to the black clubhouse. No, it's not my clubhouse. God damn it, it's a biker clubhouse. I don't give a shit where I am if it's bikers there.
That's
but
it.
We can't come together.
Well,
hell,
let me ask you this question.
I'm going to badmouth you for a second. You were hanging out with the Mayans, Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, you were hanging out with the Mexican gang. You were hanging out with the Sons of Anarchy. What's wrong with you, white boy? Why don't you with your own crowd?
Exactly.
This is a waste of goddamn time.
The same thing, I shared that photo in case anybody wants to look and see me with Hollywood Jesus. It's on my page. I'm going to go, let me find this other one, Bill, and I'll let you describe it. Because I'm with...
While we're doing that, go ahead.
And I'm with this whole group, and it was up at... Cook's Corner.
Yeah.
And then it was
Orange
up at,
County, California.
Yeah, and then it was
people,
up at the Easy Rider Show.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was up here, there, and basically, it's the One Down guys. And they take everybody in.
We take everybody. I think it's funny. Yeah, we take everybody, you know.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
I try to judge you. I said this before, and I'll say it one more time. I give you a chance. If I respect you, then you tell me you're Mexican, white, Indian, woman, man. I don't care what you are. If I don't respect you, don't worry about the rest of the shit because it ain't never going to happen between us. I don't care. But we have to respect people for their own rights. Now, you're showing me a picture here. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hang a second. I'm counting. Don't push me. Okay, so good. 25 black guys, 1 white guy. What are you doing? I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
All right, these are somebody you respect and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
They have to earn your respect. They have your respect with that. Why should you have to be worried about what people say or think or do? And I know you get a lot of shit because you have friends and everywhere. That's what we have to do as a group. We don't have to love each other. We don't have to get married. But every Mexican motorcycle club, every separate black motorcycle club, every white motorcycle club, we're the same thing. It's vote. If we can't come together, will always remain separate. We'll always remain little people. Little people that can never go anywhere because we can't come together as a group.
No, and right here.
Oh, now you got two Mexicans.
Right here.
Oh, there you go.
Right here.
Three Mexicans.
Okay, here. I'm with Emilio, Pete, and Goldie, right?
Yeah.
I'm the one taking the picture.
Yeah. All right. You know, and I know that a lot of my friends in some parts of America said, you know what, Bill? We only will let certain type of people in our club. I'm not picking on any one club here. I'm just trying to say we, the motorcycle world, if we can't come together organized, if we can't be professional, if we can't let our words be known, the Congress, senators, nobody ever will pay attention to us. We'll remain just little tiny people. And if we can't get over this shit, maybe we belong being little tiny people. Somebody pull me out of this. I'm going to keep going. Jump in, say something.
I've got to ask a question.
Go ahead.
If the Indians had become one instead of fragmented, where do you think we would be today?
We'd be back on the ships going back to England and Europe.
Yeah. Thank you.
The reason that the Indians are different because the Indians would attack each other's tribes and make slaves out of each other's. The Indian in America... No, there's no such thing as confederation. I think that there was on the East Coast, the Iroquois had a confederation of some of the eastern tribes. But the Indians in America, I'm not saying they caused their own downfall. I'm saying because they refused to unite, that's why they were defeated. We have
that's
one
correct.
Major battle, right? Little Bighorn. Crazy Horse pulled everybody together, all the tribes. One battle. If the Indians from the beginning were tight, but they weren't. So anyway, I'm not picking on the Indians. I'm trying to say again, this is an example of how we can come together and do things. We need a leadership. We need people to step up to the plate. We need people to speak for all motorcycle riders. Come on, jump in. Get me off the air, somebody. Talk about it.
It's a very difficult thing that you're asking. And again, I think the most important thing that you had said was respect. And you still have bikers out there. And I only tootle around on my bike. I mean, it's not a big deal. But when I come across a biker that thinks he's holier than thou and can't give me the time of day, to me, he ain't a biker because he hasn't quite figured out who the fuck he is yet.
Right. Fran, we got a caller on caller 989. Jump in and answer a question or ask a question. 989. Caller, identify yourself. Tell us where you're from, please.
Hello,
caller.
989.
239. You out there, buddy?
989.
Oh, 989. 239. I read that there.
Mm-hmm.
You going to jump in or you want to just listen?
Let him listen.
No, he thinks he says, what, Bill, you're boring. I want, no, go
ahead. Yeah, whatever.
Back to you. Go ahead.
Well, I say, there were some real hardcore riders, and I'd gotten off my Honda. And actually, you know what? I'm fucking proud to ride a Honda. I'd like to see some of these guys keep up with me. But
there you go.
The two guys that were sitting at the fence, we were at a Harley dealer, and the guy says, you ride much? And I says, yeah, I ride a little. And I start walking into the shop. One guy looks over the speedometer, and he chuckles, and he says to the other one, she rides a little? At that point, you could hear the respect in the guy's voice. Because I wasn't blowing my horn. I don't have to. I know who I am. I'm just someone who rides and appreciates being able to go down the road. But I will tell you, this past week, they're out there, man. They almost got me a couple times now. And there's something else that's interesting about riding a motorcycle. For all of those bikes out. No. For all those bikers out there, you could have the loudest horn that you want. What do you think actually works quicker than a horn?
faster motorcycle. What's my theory?
No. You freaking yell as loud as you can. Even on the freeway, you yell because they're not used to hearing a voice out there. They'll respond quicker to that than anything that you can have. And I've tested it time and time again. When I'm whitelining or lane splitting, whatever you want to call it, I whistle. It's interesting how all of a sudden things change because of whistling. Again, it's a sound that they're not familiar with. So,
I didn't mean to laugh at you, but we got somebody that just said, yeah, well, yelling doesn't work. Loud pipes and a hammer do.
This is Bill Huzzy, and some of you people were asking us about him, and I wasn't going to comment on it, because last week we talked about him and this donkey, and we were up in Arizona for a big party. A lot of guys hooked up with a fine-looking woman. He hooked up with this donkey, and people want to know, and I'm going to tell you right now, no donkeys were hurt with Bill at all.
He did what? Say that again. I want to make sure I absorbed all that right.
Bill, repeat it for her.
We were in Arizona.
Yeah, they
got
drunk together, he says.
And many of us went out to the bars, and many of us hooked up with beautiful women. One of our friends, he went and he hooked up with this donkey.
Are you saying, like, donkey as in nativity scene, laying down, going hee-haw?
That's who he hooked up with. And one of the concerns was that donkey injured throughout the course of the action? And I believe it was no, he wasn't injured at all.
Right.
I'm sure Bill's didn't not let that go. I was going to make a comment about how far he entered, but no, I will skip all stuff.
I don't have to worry about that. In high school, that did happen, and they ended up calling the fire department. And the problem is, the fire department, there wasn't a dang thing they were going to be able to do. They should have called a vet so that they could give a relaxant to the four-legged critter.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It goes along with this. Here, I'll leave you with this little tidbit. This is my joke of the day. A doctor and his wife were having a big argument at breakfast. "You aren't so good in bed either," he shouted and stormed off to work. By mid-morning, he decided he'd better make amends and phoned home. After many rings, his wife picked up the phone. "What took you so long to answer?" She said, "I was in bed." "What were you doing in bed this late?" "Getting a second opinion."
If I had a drummer, I'd give it a cha-ching bang.
Oh, gosh.
Friend Bill, I want to say he is a nice guy, and I apologize if any of you people are saying, what the hell is wrong? Bill is a nice guy. He just has a few drinks, and the donkeys are attracted to him. We shouldn't be judgmental, though.
Oh, my God. Hey, Phil, I have a request from this cranky Yankee sitting over here. You think, one of these Tuesdays or Thursdays night, you can throw a little Godsmack into your, variety of music for this diehard fan right here?
Well, I picked one out right now, but I'm thinking I can do that.
Yeah.
That would be very nice, because I'm like their world's biggest fan, you know? They're from here. they're from Massachusetts, so, that would be wonderful.
But this is what I picked out. This is what I picked out today. I'll just play a little tidbit of it, and then I'll look for some Godsmack.
All right, let's have it. How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
We were going to close with that, but we'll see if we can find you some Godsmack.
Well.
Here you go. I got one for you. Right here. This is Godsmack. We're down to the last little bit here before it starts. I want to thank everybody, and you can all call back in next week or send me an email. We'll do whatever we can do for you.
Maybe we get Bill on the air next time so all the ladies can talk to Bill about his experiences with the donkey.
Awesome. That would be entertaining.
Next Thursday, can you come on and share us?
Well,
is he ready yet?
He says, I think I heard Bill singing that song in the shop while he was in his shitter. You singing Dean Martin in a shitter?
No, no,
huh? All right, well, here we go. Here's your Godsmack. This one's called I Stand Alone.
If you know the words, sing along, please.
And we hope everybody, all you guys come back next week.
Of course, I wouldn't be complete without, you know, hanging with you guys.
Well, next Thursday, we're going to get Bill on to talk to you ladies about him and the donkey, so
there
please call in.
All right, we're going to close this out. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you later.
Good night, boys and girls.
Good night, all.